Welcome back. And we go now to the formerly great state of Colorado. Well, geographically and in terms of nature, nothing prettier than the state of Colorado. But we're going to talk about interesting things that affect all of us that are really within our purview in terms of voluntary, we'll call it, investigation. There's so much in life that most people never do. They just don't want to go there. They can't go there. They're behind the millstone or carrying the millstone. We understand that. But my goodness, there's so many things in life that people cut themselves short of and out of. It's not funny. And we'll talk about a little of that tonight with Frosty Wooldridge at 9,000 feet. I'm thinking of moving to 4,300 feet, and that's high. You're way up there.
Well, yes, indeed, Jeff. As a matter of fact, this past week, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, we backpacked and cross-country skied into to the 10th Mountain Hut.
Oh, you went up there again. I know this story from the past.
We sure did, and we got a bluebird day, and this is amazing. Everybody that summited, there were five of us, everybody was over 70.
Really? So you're up another 1,000 feet from, you're probably up at around 10,000, right?
Yeah, well, I'm at 8,000. The hut, you have to ski in from 8,000 off of Tennessee Pass. And so we gained about 2,000 vertical. And then you go from 11,005 at 10th Mountain Hut. For those of you who can appreciate, there's 40 huts in the 10th Mountain Hut system. And they were all created by all the 10th Mountain soldiers who trained there in Hale Valley, just south of Minturn on 24, which is very near Vail, Colorado, the big ski resort. And they came back from World War II. They looked back on all that training because they had to fight in the Swiss Alps, and that's what they did. Yeah. They fought the Germans in the Swiss Alps. Uh-huh. And there's a lot of stories about the 10th Mountain Division. And these guys came back. There's only a few left, actually. And they created the hut system because they loved the mountains so much. And they absolutely have these huts, and they're beautiful huts. Sometimes they sleep 10, some are as high as 16. They have a nice fireplace with a lot of wood stocked up, and you got to pay it $35 a night, and you get a bunk, and you can cook your food.
Okay, hold that thought. $35 a night. Who do you pay it to? And everybody pays in the group individually $35.
Right. Everybody pays. It's called, just go 10th Mountain Hut, Colorado, and you'll get
right
all
now.
The information.
I want to see this. 10th Mountain Hut.
Yeah, 10th Mountain Hut.
Colorado.
Colorado, yeah.
So who collects? Would you just leave it there in an envelope, that kind of thing?
No, you they've got a whole
system.
They've got a whole system.
Oh, it's an association.
You pay it with a credit card, yeah. And
10th Mountain.
And then once you pay, you've got it booked up, and they book up really fast because everybody loves them. And
so it's not like you just take your chances and you show up there and hope it's not full. You book it.
Yeah, you book it. Yeah. You can just go to huts.org, huts.org, and you'll see a big logo that says 10th Mountain Division Hut Association Colorado, and you'll see a bunch of beautiful cross-country skiing, two guys with their backpacks on, and they're just making tracks through the backcountry of Colorado. And it shows you the availability, and you can hook them up, and I suggest that you hook them up. And you can do them in the summertime. It's stunning. And one of the things that I would highly recommend anybody coming to Colorado in the summertime and hiking the mountains, and certainly the hut system for the summer, you will see wildflowers exploding by July the 1st. July the 1st, when all the snows are melted and the wildflowers come out, and there will be bumblebees, and there will be all of these hummingbirds. You will see elk. You'll see deer. You'll see all sorts of bird life. You'll see the stellar jays. You'll see the gray jays. The Hutt system in the Rocky Mountains is something to behold, whether it's in the wintertime or in the summertime.
And it's you walk there. You don't drive there.
No, you walk, yeah. You either ski. You have to have mountaineering skis on. They have skins, and the skins lock the ski down so you can go forward. You can glide forward, but then as soon as you stop, they lock in because it has a one-way feathered material, kind of like a fish scale, and then it locks into the snow. And then you can go, I skied right to the top of a 13,209-foot Homestake Peak. It's been the eighth time I've done it with friends. And for those of you who've ever, I think, I bet you somebody's read my book, Living Your Spectacular Life. That shot that you see is yours truly on the left, and one of my friends, Al Wilson, He snowshoed up and I skied up, and we stood right there on the top of Homestake Peak at 13,209 feet with a blue sky, and that was in the middle of January, colder than you can imagine.
Yeah, I'm sure, but not tougher than you are. All right,
now these not tougher than me.
These huts,
I dress
they look
warm.
Like they're little mountain houses. They're little log houses, is what they are.
Oh yeah, they're log houses. Yeah, they're very nice. Very nice. Yeah. I'm looking at it right here. You've got, and I've gone to all of them. There's 10th Mountain Hut. There's Benedict Hut. There's Benedict. There's Betty Bear Hut. There's Fritz Hut. There's Elsie Hut. Fowler Hilliard Hut. There's a Harry Gates, which I've been to. The Jackal
Take the
Hut.
Top
the
link. Take the top link on the page, huts.org, huts.org, and just click on the huts, and they're all there. You can click on each one of them. Which one should we look at on the left-hand side? Betty Bear Hut, what do you want to look at?
We'll just go to the 10th Mountain Hut right there, and you'll see the exact, I'm looking at it right now. I was standing on the front porch of that just 3 days ago.
Well, see, that's a beautiful mountain house is what it is.
Oh, yeah. Oh, let me tell you. It's got electrics from solar panels. You can see the solar panels on the left side. It's got two outhouses in the back there, and you have a nice private outhouse. And then inside, there's a you can pump water. It's got a hand pump, and you can do the dishes. And then it's got a propane that gets filled every fall, and everybody can just cook up their oatmeal, cook up fabulous dinners. Pots and pans. They also have a beautiful firewood furnace right there, and that heats the hut all night long. And all you need is your sleeping bag to be inside of to stay warm inside the hut.
Got it. Well, that's the 10th Mountain Division Hut, and that's the top one on the left. You'll see it. And take a look.
That's 11,370.
Got it.
And it's 4.4 miles to get in there. The cumulative gain is 1,400 feet. And, of course, the closest town is Leadville, which is the highest city in America at 10,152 feet.
All right, I'm going to look up Leadville. This is fun.
Yeah, Leadville.
Hold on. Let me get to my up here and type that in. Leadville, Colorado.
Yep.
Okay. Wow, it's way up there, but look, even higher than Leadville, those mountain peaks across the valley.
Yeah, Mount Elbert. In fact, right next to Leadville is Mount Elbert, which is 14,455. I've climbed that one. I've climbed them all, but then there's Princeton. There's Brouse. They're all over the place. There's a giant line of 14,000 footers going right out of Leadville. And Leadville was a town that it's a Superfund site. I mean, they mined silver and they mined gold, and that place
toxic
is
tailings.
Toxic tailings everywhere. They poisoned the Arkansas River like crazy for years. So but it's quite
how
beautiful.
How high is Leadville, Frosty?
10,152 feet.
Wow. It's way up there.
Well, way up there.
Nice pictures. Yeah. Okay. Hey, now, when you say, I want to get one thing clear. When you say you ski to the hut, you really don't ski like downhill. You're working upstream. You're moving.
Yeah, you're
that
working
ski.
Upstream with a
40
stepping. Pound pack.
Step. Right, I got it.
Yeah, ski glide. Yes, you push forward, and you glide, and then you stop, and then your left foot goes forward, and then it locks down. And the skins, what happens is when you get to the top of the mountain, you take the skins off, and then you can teleski. It's called teleskiing. Although teleskiing is now telemark skiing is becoming a lost art because the latest ski bindings, you can move forward and, you know, kick up the mountain and keep going uphill. And then when you want to go down, you take the skins off and you can lock down the binding on the boot itself, and you can literally ski downhill on your cross-country mountaineering skis.
Wow.
Yeah, so
very interesting.
Telemark skiing, that's what everybody used to do way back when, and they used to use wax. It's difficult to telemark ski, especially on crusty snow. I mean, it's really fantastic on powder snow. Say you get 25, 30 inches of powder. It's outstanding, but if not, you are fighting, you're fighting dry snow, hard pack snow, and so forth. So with the new boots, with the lock-in bindings, you can just jump on those things and you can downhill like crazy, just like a regular skier. So, yeah, happening with the advancements in ski technology.
Leadville has a railroad. You can take a railroad ride there.
Yeah. Yeah, Leadville was one of the biggest silver mines in the United States, and it's a town where the Leadville 100, and of course I've raced in the Leadville 100 in four times now, and I raced it with Lance Armstrong. I raced against Lance Armstrong in 2009 before the fall, and of course there's four 12,000-foot peaks on a mountain bike. You got to race. And then there's one 13,000-footer. And I'll never forget, he was racing David Wines at the time. And David Wines was the greatest mountain bike racer in the world. And I had gone up two of the passes, and finished those. And I was going to go up to the 13,000-footer. And both those guys were already coming down. I got astride my bike. And I just saluted them. And they waved at me. And as they went by, and then it took me another 6 hours to finish, and they finished in another 2 hours. But anyway, and David Wines beat Lance that year, and Lance was so upset about it that he came back and he took the course record the next year. And then Levi Liepheimer, who's a big competitor on the Tour de France, he came back and he broke it, and then somebody else broke it after that. But then they started charging $345 to enter from the $60 that I used to pay. And I said, I am not racing $360.
A bit greedy.
A little bit greedy, yeah. It was $345. I said, I'm not going to ride 100 miles and pay a $340 bill for it. So I raced one more time, and I was thinking it was 2015. And I said, enough of this. So, yeah, they let all the rich people go and race, and they can do that, and I'm happy for them.
Got it. All right. Yeah. We have some things tonight that Frosty sent over earlier, and they have pretty neat titles. If you look in Frosty's columnist section on the left-hand side, you'll see them. They're all entered there already. They're also in news headlines. There are four of them. And let's go.
Yeah, one of the things, Jeff, that I think is important, that you discuss some of the more compelling stories that are going on here in the United States and around the world with all of your guests all of the year. And one of the things that I respect about your program is that you get people who are down to earth. You get people that know what they're talking about. They have been there. They've seen it. They've experienced it. And so you're not getting you're not interviewing people, somebody like an Anderson Cooper, who's up there in the high reaches New York. You don't get somebody like David Brooks, who's a journalist, but he gets paid $150,000 a year for the New York Times, I think. And he doesn't know what's what's really going on down at the ground level. And so that's what's so compelling, because the American people and the Canadian people and the world, people of the world that listen to this program, you're getting it from just regular citizens that know what's going on, and they don't have an agenda.
And, no pretensions, Frosty. No, these are real people. Thank you for pointing that out. They're great people.
And I don't think most people don't realize this. If you listen to some stupid programs like The View, those girls are getting $150,000. I think it's a program. I mean, it's unbelievable the kind of money they make. I mean, somebody like Whoopi Goldberg, who complains, her name is actually Karen Johnson, but she trashes the USA and she smashes. She's worth, I think it's about $70 million, and so it's all these nasty Americans who calls every name in the book.
Isn't it funny?
And yet we
Isn't
came to her movies and we watched her movies and made her a millionaire.
We did it. We gave her the opportunity. She did the work, but believe me, a lot of doors were open for her, and here she is, filthy rich, and just smearing white European Americans.
You got
what a hypocritic bitch. Oh,
yeah, awesome. That'd be the perfect moniker for her. She really is a hypocritical, duplistic bitch.
Yeah.
That's what she is. And I feel sorry for her because now she's a big fat. She has to wear a cane. She can't keep her weight down. She has no self respect. Yeah. She looks
she's
like
a fat
blob.
Hypocritical bitch now.
Yeah. Sure is. So that's for me, it's so important that the American people and the Canadian people and European people get a chance to understand speakers who are ground level. And so tonight, it's the end of the year, and I've got it'll be up on Rinse.com here next week, end of this week, some of the some of the things that I'm going to complain about or note about 2023, and then I'm going to hope for in 2024. But one thing I've realized, and I think everybody listening to this broadcast, we all realize that singularly we don't have hardly any chance and a snowball's chance in hell of changing the course of history. I mean, just in the last 3 days, down there on the border, 47,000 illegal migrants crossed the U.S. border on the 3 days of Christmas, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday. 47,000. And got processed. They got their little $5,000 credit card. They got their little cell phone. They get to go into any, and you and I paid for it.
It's a gift card, not a credit card. They don't have to pay it back.
That's right. It's a gift card. And so that kind of thing is going on. It's been going on for 36 months. I've written about it. I've been down on that border the last three springs. I've been down there in Tucson and in El Paso to see it firsthand. Uh-huh. And whomever and whatever they think they're doing and going to do to the United States, they're doing a really great job, because this invasion of America is going to be one of the greatest consequences and the greatest crises facing America, I think, since 1776. And we're all going to pay for this, and it's going to be nasty. We're going to have terrorist attacks, whether they're big-time terrorist attacks, like shooting out substations on electrical way stations, or they take out the railroads, and they go around and singularly killing people, like that kid did up there in Boulder, Colorado 2 years ago. You name it. There's so many violent Islamic terrorist attacks going on, and we're going to see more of them. But anyway, so that's what's coming, and obviously we'll talk about it in the coming year. But for the most of us, we all have pretty decent lives. Today I worked out at the gym. I swam a half mile. I sat in the hot tub, talked to a few people, went and lift weights, and I rode my bicycle, and I ran a mile, and just to stay in shape so I can go do these ski trips.
Sure.
But for the most part, I have good times with my friends, and so I want to bring to everyone tonight four things, if we can get to them, or at least two or three of them, a Christmas gift. And the first one is, you can do that. And so I ask you the question, have you ever faced a situation that caused you to question yourself? Did you confront a teacher you disliked or a fellow student who badgered you? Have you dealt with a coworker that made you tear your hair out? I bet you have, because I certainly have. Well, welcome to the human race. Here's one of the best gifts my father gave me when I grew up, and I think it's important for everyone to learn this, either early in life or any time in life. And that is this. I faced a science project in school back in high school, and it felt impossible. It was beyond my skills. It was over my head. I grumbled. I whined. I complained. And, Dad, that science project feels like I have to fly to the moon with Tinkerbell's wings, I said, and it's killing me. And he said, son, I learned one thing on my winding road through life. Some people sit and watch while others take action and take the lead. Most give applause and cheer those who take the lead. Few people take the lead. Okay, I said, what does that have to do with me? You can complain about your situation, my dad said, but that doesn't get you anywhere. You can make a lot of excuses, but that sets up failure. You can decide to take action. That will get you to your destination. Yeah, but Dad, I said, I can't. Son, this may be the most important advice I ever shared with you, my dad said. There are two kinds of people in this world, the ones that say I can't and the ones that say I can. You get to decide. And once you make that decision, it will follow you the rest of your life. It will dominate your life journey. It will give you a rich life or an average life. Do you understand me, son? Yes, sir, I said. He said, whenever you face a problem, a task, a challenge, a test, or anything that confronts you in life, I want you to remember these words. And I have to say this, Jeff. He put his arms around me every time I faced some of this stuff. He just put an arm over my shoulder. And he said, son, you can do that. Now repeat after me. I can do that. Yes, sir. And I did. And, you know, that has stuck with me all my life. I can do that. And from that point to this day, I know in my heart and in my mind and in my spirit that I can do that. You know, and it's really funny because I give you an example. Back in the 10th grade, I took a world history course from a wonderful teacher, Mrs. Barbara Rainwater. Halfway through the semester, we studied China. I saw a picture of a history book of the Great Wall of China. I said, someday I'm going to walk the Wall of China. And Mrs. Rainwater said, you can't walk the Wall of China. It's closed to all foreigners. You will never walk the Great Wall of China. And I said, well, ma'am, my dad says things change in the world, and I'm going to walk the Wall of China someday. Years after I graduated from high school and after my college career was completed, China opened its gates to the world in 1984. I bought a one-way ticket around the world on an airplane. It cost me $2,003. I remember that. And you always had to go, one direction always, keep moving forward so I could literally visit the entire world. Yeah. I bicycled through Europe. I backpacked into the Swiss Alps. I walked through the Vatican. I stood on the steps of the Parthenon in Athens, Greece. I landed in Hong Kong. I pedaled, trained, hiked, and worked my way to Beijing. From there, I got on my bike and pedaled my way north to the Ming Dynasty tombs. And never in my life could I have imagined that I would be traveling through the Summer Palace or the Forbidden City, the Ming Dynasty tombs and the streets of Beijing. I was right there in the middle there, Mao Zedong, where that little kid got in front of the tanks.
Tiananmen Square, yes.
Yep, I was right there. I walked Tiananmen Square, and I snapped pictures and so forth. But my one goal remained, walk on the Wall of China. Several days later, I labored up hills, pushed myself to the limit. Finally, I stood at the steps of the Great Wall of China. A bunch of kids raced toward me to sell me a Great Wall of China T-shirt, which, by the way, I still have to this day. It's right in my dresser. I wear it down to the rec center, and they said, whoa, that's a cool T-shirt. You did? Wow, that's really neat. So anyway, I paid a few bucks for that T-shirt, and within minutes, I climbed the steps and walked on the Great Wall of China. It's nearly 4,000 miles long. It's huge. It's thousands of years old. You can see it from space, and millions of Chinamen died building it to keep out the northern invaders. So there it was. I set up the tripod, took a picture. To this day, my proudest moment remains that day that I walked on the Great Wall of China. Not only that, my adventure wall shows me bicycling in Antarctica, Australia, South America, Europe, and all of Asia. 15 times across the USA. I scuba dived all the oceans of the world. It's been a glorious lifetime of adventures. Why and how did I do all of that? And my dad said, son, you can do that. So to each person listening to this broadcast, make my dad your dad if you didn't get the same confidence that my dad gave me, and repeat after him, I can do that. And you bet your life you can do that. And so Merry Christmas from our house to your house, because it's out there waiting for you, and you can do that.
What a beautiful story, Frosty. Thank you. Thank you.
You're
for that.
Welcome.
You've inspired a lot of people, and it is the truth. And yeah. I didn't have a dad. I've been on my own since I was 11. But I knew early on, somehow, my inner voice told me, there's nothing you really can't do, barring physical limitations. You can't run a 9-1 100-yard dash. You just don't have that physiology. But anything else that requires mind or application, there's nothing going to stop you except yourself. I just knew that. So what you're saying is you're describing, first, a magnificent father who opened the door for his son. He said, here, son, I'm going to open this door for you. You can go in there. You can do it. And you did it. And I hope your dad was around. I know he'd left early, but I hope he was around long enough to see that you were an extraordinary young man. I hope so.
Well, I do too, you know, and I always, you know, I know my dad's smiling somewhere out there,
yeah.
And I'm sure he's proud of me, and he's proud of all of his sons. I mean, my brother Howard is the only man in history to ride a horse coast to coast across America both ways, and then ride a bicycle both ways. He's such a, you know, just a regular guy. I don't think he even registered to get in the Guinness Book of World Records, but he is a man. He's the only man in the history of the world to ride a horse both ways across America, plus a bicycle. That record will never be broken. And my brother Rex traveled all over the world also. So, and my brother Howard, you know, he speaks five languages, and he did it all on his own. He didn't get a dime put into his ability to do that. He worked for all of it. So it just shows you, and we're just regular farm kids out of Leroy, Michigan, population 500, south of Cadillac, Michigan. For those of you who are in Michigan, and I know you know where that is, between Reed City and Cadillac, that's little old Leroy. And so, again, my dad said you can do that, and so you can do that. And so that's what makes life so interesting and so dynamic and so expansive and so creative. And that's you and your choices to go after it.
We're only limited by ourselves.
Yeah.
Again, barring physical limitations.
Sure.
But seriously, I've seen, as many of you listening and Frosty has, we've seen people our whole lives, and you have too, who have sold themselves short, who kick back, their trust fund babies, whatever. But my goodness, there's still opportunity out there. As bad as things get here, there are still opportunities if you just want to go after them. You have to want it. And these young people now, they're all socialists in their orientation. They want it handed to them. I deserve this. I deserve that. And, it's sad. Our young people now don't have what it takes. There are some exceptions, and some of you listening right now are those exceptions. But the majority of young people, they're cell phone addicts. They just don't have the integrity to do things for themselves. They just don't. I don't know where it went. Maybe it was never there. All right, well, that was really just extraordinary. Thank you again for that. And let's move on. We've got some other things. They're all up there at Frosty's columnist section. You can find them listed there if you want to share these, and we urge you to do that. And I will say this, Frosty, hold on. You are, and your brothers are inclusive in this generalization, but you are, in my estimation, one of the most remarkable men in recorded history for your world travels, the things you've done, the things you've accomplished and achieved. I don't know anyone who is even 1/100th along the road that you've traveled. You have done things that are astounding, and I think you literally are living a life of inspiration for many others. Many you'll never know, but they're listening now and they've followed you over the years. So keep it up, my friend. What you're doing matters.
Thank you, Jeff. And, you know, for those of you who really would like to live a spectacular life, that's the title of one of my books. It's called Living Your Spectacular Life. And as a matter of fact, the picture has yours truly on the top of that 13,209-foot homestake peak in the Mount Holy Cross area, and that's on the front cover. And the 12 concepts and practices of that are in that book, and then all the examples of people who have lived lives of excitement and spectacular lives. You can be one of them. I mean, you truly can be one of them. And there's, like I say, there's 12 concepts and practices. You just plug into them. And that book shows you how to find your dream and how to chase your dream and how to catch it and then how to live it. And that, in the end, is what makes me happy when I have friends who are living their lives and living their dreams because they chased them and they caught them. And anybody can. You know, and for those of you, Dan Millman's been a friend of mine for, 25 years at least, and he's written a book called The Life You Were Born to Live. That's another book that will show you how to get to where you want to go. And there's another one called Enneagram, and the Enneagram is Enneagram, and there's nine personality traits. And those you find out which one is you, and it'll show you where your propensities are as far as life, chasing life's goals or intentions. And I think it's important. And for the gals out there, I would highly recommend Elizabeth Gilbert. She was the great writer of Eat, Pray, Love. It was an international bestseller, and it was a very good book. I read it. But the best one she ever wrote was called Big Magic, Creative Living Beyond Fear. Get that book on audio. I've read it 40 times on audio because it expands your mind. It expands your creative juices. It expands your total creativity in any realm that you want. And the key here is these books will show you how to get to where you want to go. And once you plug into that, boy, life gets to be a really fun ride. And I personally would like to see everyone having a fun ride instead of 100,000 kids overdosing on drugs every year in this country.
Right.
I mean, think of 100,000 kids last year overdosed on drugs, probably that many this year. What if they had direction? What if they had parents that showed them how to get down the road? What if they listened to this broadcast and all of a sudden had three books in their mind, and they're all scribbled down, you know, Living Your Spectacular Life, The Life You Were Born to Live, and Big Magic, and the Enneagram. I mean, wow. You gals, get that book. Elizabeth Gilbert nailed it. She shows you how to live a fantastic, creative life in that book. And so you've got some markers here. You've got some roadmaps from those who've gone before you, whether it's a guy or a girl. And I highly recommend that you jump into that so you're not one of the 100,000 kids and then their parents that they put them in an early grave. Those 100,000 that have died every year for the last 3 years, they're all between the ages of 16 and 25. That's a tragedy that's just extraordinarily painful to our country and to our society and to our way of life. And it's sad for me. So, yeah, check that out. So the next thing I want to talk about is, what dream has your name on it? You know, the one thing that I give this program, it's called Living Your Spectacular Life, Designing Your Life on Your Own Terms. And kids come up to the podium after I finish up with a slideshow because I show them where they can go in the world. And after the 12 concepts and practices, and they tell me, my God, this is the best hour I've had in my entire high school career. It gave me direction. That's what's so important. Young people need direction. So listen to the elders. Listen to the ones that have gone before, you know, whether it's Jack London or whether it's Ralph Waldo Emerson or whether it's John Muir or whether it's Nellie Bly or Margaret Mead. I mean, you can just go up and down the scale there, and there's men and women that are out there living fantastic lives. And so one of the things I found is that most people have a midlife crisis after the age of 40, and then all of a sudden they just bump into 50, and all of a sudden it's all downhill. But here's what you can do, and I think it's so important. Jean-Luc Picard on the Starship Enterprise said this: time is a companion. First of all, it says time stalks us all of our lives. And then he says, time is a companion that goes with us on a journey. That's what he would rather you think. It reminds us to cherish each moment because it will never come again. What we leave behind is not as important as how we lived. Unquote. You know, just last week, here I am standing on a 13,000-foot peak in the middle of December, just before Christmas, with all these guys, and what a party at 13,000 feet. Now, I can tell you this. It's not easy to get up to 13,000 feet in the middle of December, and it's 20 below zero.
No.
You have to train. You have to prepare yourself, especially if you're over 70. You've got to bust your tail feathers just to get in shape. And to hump a 45-pound pack into the mountains, boy, you better be ready for that, too. And the key is that you do train. You train for life. You train for what you want to do in life. If you want to be, you know, a doctor, or you want to be, a CEO, or you want to be an entrepreneur, whatever you want to be, you've got to prepare. You've got to become educated.
Yes.
You've got to have that drive inside you. And here's that statement. What we leave behind us is not as important as how we have lived. Breathe that statement into your spirit. Incorporate it into your mind. Engage it into your passions. And the fact is, what turns you on daily? What moves you to action? What calls you? As a matter of fact, last night I saw a fantastic movie. It was called Boys in the Boat. It was directed by George Clooney. You all know George Clooney, the handsome guy. But it was set in 1936, and it was a bunch of crew. And I love to paddle my own scull myself, and I love canoeing. But they are going to the 1936 German Olympics there. And these bunch of guys, you're going to get into this movie. And this movie, last night when we saw the movie house was packed. And the reason it was packed is because it's a solid movie where the characters, you can feel them. You can feel their heartbeat. You can feel them straining against the oars and pushing that boat down the river. And that movie's going to move you. And it should move you to, literally to tears, but it'll move you to absolute joy. And again, it's called Boys in the Boat. I highly recommend it because it's a movie not of somebody killing each other. It's got a bunch of, these stainless steel robots and no personality and lousy acting. It's an extraordinarily well-acted movie, and you're in there pulling with them. So go see that movie, and it'll inspire you. So what heroes do you follow? And why? What great moments in history move you? How do you feel when you study a certain subject? What books engage your interest? What famous movie role inspires you? It's my contention that you discover your life path by following the slightest thread of your desires. From there, you make your intentions. You know, and I think I've given this story before, but I think it's so important. One such young lady wanted to learn to fly an airplane. She lives about 10 miles from me. As she grew up, she used a doll for her co-pilot, which she placed next to her in her airplane, which with two seats in her room. As she grew older, she kept the doll next to her and carried it with her when she attended college. After college, she gained work at an airport, but couldn't afford flying lessons. Nevertheless, she made friends with pilots and trainers alike. At all times, she kept her doll with her to remind her of her dream to fly. As fate entered the picture, she became an assistant to a veteran airline pilot trainer. She worked hard, showed up on time, stayed late, kept the books in order. After a year of watching her, he offered her some time in a flight simulator. Soon, she showed her adept skills as a pilot that impressed the trainer. He offered to take her up in a single-engine plane for flight training. She earned, scraped, and saved the money for flight lessons. After 2 years, she gained her pilot's lessons. At all times, the doll sat with her in the cockpit. Soon, she learned to pilot a twin-engine plane. She flew clients all over the country. With that money, she learned to pilot a 747 with the same trainer who started her out years before. When she received her pilot's license for a 747, she earned a job with a major airline. Today, as an international 747 airline pilot, she visits places all over the world with her the same doll, that same dream, that same intention rides in the cockpit with her. In fact, she is a friend of mine, and she wrote a book, Chicken the Cockpit. Her name is Erica Armstrong, and She's quite a lady. So in the end,
wow.
I ask you, and you can ask yourself, that's a fabulous story. What dream has your name on it? On this long life journey, you must co-create your life path with the creative energy within you. You possess all the tools and all the ingenious energy to engage a positive, useful, purposeful, and happy life. Once open to the possibilities daily, engage the flow and receive the favors of the universe. Finally, weave your story toward co-creating your dynamic life. Take action toward your chosen destiny. You know, and as my dad said, you can do that. Isn't that a great story about that lady?
Fabulous. What was the little doll like? I don't know. Did you...
Just a little doll. She had a little doll, and it was her co-pilot. I mean, the dream was her co-pilot.
I understand.
You keep thinking, and those thoughts, you can bring them to form. And that's, you know, when I look back with Mrs. Rainwater, she adamantly said mm-hmm. that I would, in fact,
did you ever tell her? Did you ever get back to her?
Oh, yeah. I sent her a picture of me walking on the Wall of China. I mean,
good job.
At one time, this is no kidding. Now, folks, you'll have to laugh on this one. I came through in one of my trips across America. I think it was like my fifth or sixth, mm-hmm. coast to coast. And I was doing the mm-hmm. Southern Tier, and Mrs. Barbara Rainwater, she taught at Doherty High School in Albany, Georgia. And my mom, who still lived there at the time, she sent out the Albany Herald newspaper and the TV station. And all of a sudden, Frosty Wooldridge, he graduated from high school at DHS, and he's come through on a bicycle trip across America. He's a returning hero and all this stuff. Anyway, the next morning, I get a phone call, and I said, hello. Hi, is this Frosty Wooldridge? This is your old teacher, Mrs. Barbara Rainwater. She says, I just saw you, and I love that cards you sent me from the Wall of China. I have to admit, I didn't think you'd ever amount to much of anything.
Oh, that's funny.
I sat there and I went, well, thank you, Mrs. Rainwater.
Oh, yeah.
But she said, you are living an interesting life, you know. And so we jabbered on and so forth. But, you know, she's a sweet old lady. But what it shows you is that anybody at any time in their lives can live an interesting life, an exciting life, an spectacular life, a meaningful life, a happy life, all because you've got that dream, and whether it's the doll sitting beside you in the cockpit, doesn't make any difference. Yeah. That's how you get to go do what you want to do in life, and I really think it's worthwhile.
More than that, every day is a blessing. It's a gift.
Oh, yeah.
Don't waste days. Try to do something during that day that makes the world a little bit better place or brings a little joy or someone you know. Even if you open a door for a senior citizen, do something. Make a little difference. It doesn't have to be mountain climbing. It can be a lot of things, infinite numbers of things. You're right. All right, what else, Frosty? We got about 6-7 minutes.
Okay. You know, finally, I have another piece that you can look at, but I want to skip this one. It's called "Are You Living a Life Worth Remembering?" Mm-hmm. I've got several people in this story that absolutely took lives that were absolutely wrecked. One guy, blind, he climbs to the top of Mount Everest. In fact, climbs all 7 continents, the highest peaks. I got another man walking across America on his hands, and I think you've heard this story before. Because why? He had no legs. But I want to share with you a man named Chad Pregreke, cleaning up the Mississippi River one piece at a time. 20 years ago, I canoed the Mississippi River from Lake Itasca. It's only 12 inches deep and 6 feet wide. That's how big the Mississippi River starts out in Lake Itasca, right there in Minnesota. And it goes 2,552 miles all the way down to New Orleans, and it drops 1,772 feet. And it only runs about 1.5 miles per hour, so you're essentially paddling your butt off the whole time. Well, I picked up a lot of trash because, you know, I pick up trash. That's what I do.
Yes.
And anyway, Chad Pregricki, he canoed the Mississippi River. He's just a regular guy. And he wrote letters to the, you know, the Minnesota Express and the Pioneer Express. And I did, too. I said, why don't you get a bunch of 10-cent deposit return laws there to keep people from throwing all this trash in the Mississippi River and so forth? Well, he went further than that. They ignored him just like they ignored me. They wouldn't even publish my letters to the editor there, Minneapolis Times and the Minneapolis St. Paul and you name it. They don't care. And yet there's the Mississippi River. It's got tractors, cars, cables, chairs. I mean, junk everywhere. I mean, sofas. I mean, it's unbelievable. Drums, 55,000. Well, in the last 20 years, Chad Pregricki went out and he started cleaning up the Mississippi River. And he has a website. It's www.livinglandsandrivers.org. Livinglandsandrivers.org. He has picked up the entire Mississippi River, 2,552 miles. He's picked up over, I think it's about 120,000 bags of trash. He's picked up literally hundreds of 55-gallon drums. He's picked up cars and trailers and tractors. He's picked up, every kind of piece of junk you can imagine. And then he incorporated 6,000 volunteers. I mean, that's how fantastic, because, you know, in the end, all of us as Americans, I think as Canadians and as Europeans, people around the world, basic human beings care about the environment. We care that the rivers are running clean. We care that the rest stops are clean and neat. We care that the trash has been picked up along the highways and the byways and the rivers and the lakes and so forth. And so here's a guy named, in fact, he was voted by CNN, I think it was CNN, as the CNN Man of the Year about 3 or 4 years ago, I can't remember when, for his incredible service. And I think now he's working on the Missouri. I think he's also trying to get to the Potomac.
Unreal.
You know, and so
it's,
anybody,
by the way,
can do
for
that.
Everyone, hold on. It's Living Lands, L-A-N-D-S, and
right.
Waters.
Oh, Waters,
not rivers.
Excuse me.
Livinglandsandwaters.org. That's okay. I just want to make sure everybody has it. Livinglandsandwaters.org.
Yeah, livinglandsandwaters.org. Sorry for that mistake. I messed up. And so, yeah, you know, so what can you do? You can clean up your own rivers and lakes in your own community. You can vote for bottle return laws. You can absolutely volunteer with livinglandsandwaters.org with Chad Pregricki, and you can make a difference, because I know that everybody that has ever canoed a river or floated down a river or gone fishing, you don't want to see a bunch of cans floating around. They don't want to see bottles in the mud. You know, you don't want to see plastic, you know, here, there, and everywhere. And unfortunately, that's what we have in this country, because there's so many people that just don't care about the environment. You know, I don't know what the percentage is, but it's a pretty good sizable percentage, because if you look down the roads of America, there's probably at least a trillion pieces of trash at any one moment across America, if not more. And not, you know, there's not enough of us to pick them up. So I would invite each and every person listen to this broadcast. Start your own crew. I've actually created a river pickup crews here in Colorado. I've had river pickups in Michigan. I've done them in Alaska because I want to see clean, pristine rivers. For any of you who've ever watched the movie A River Runs Through It with Brad Pitt, that's what life's supposed to be. A clean river, pristine wilderness. You go out there and you touch the wild wilderness, and the wilderness will touch you. You know, and in the end, I always, John Muir is my one of my heroes in life. He said, and I'm quoting here, "Rivers flow not past, but through us, tingling, vibrating, exciting every cell and fiber in our bodies, making them sing and glide." Unquote. That's what the wilderness does for me. When I walk in the woods, I feel my soul comes together, my spirit comes together, my well-being comes together. And all of us should be able to walk into the paths of the wilderness and the woods of the wilderness and not look at cans and bottles and plastic that somebody left there. It's just it's something that doesn't work for me.
Well, it's one of the biggest disgraces of our species on this planet, supposedly the custodial species. We're not doing a good job. Your friend at livinglandsandwaters.org mm-hmm. has removed over 13 million pounds of trash,
yep.
engaged 130,000 plus volunteers to help,
yep.
educated 28,000 students, and planted nearly 2 million trees along the Mississippi. Astonishing.
Chad Craig Reiki.
Well, that's another great story right there. Frosty, yeah. I don't know how to begin to thank you on behalf of all the people listening around this difficult planet, but they are thanking you, and they did hear you, and they are fans of what you've done, and I think you've inspired a lot more than you'll ever understand to make their lives a little better, a little more successful, to achieve things that otherwise they wouldn't engage in. So thank you on behalf of all of them and personally from me for everything you
do. Thank you.
Thanks.
Most welcome. And just a Merry Christmas to everyone and a Happy New Year. And may we try to make this new year better and more positive and peaceful. And I'll be talking with you soon enough.
Yeah.
And
great.
Happy 2024.
Yes, sir, Frosty. Okay. Good night, my friend. Take care.
Good night.
And I don't know of anyone I have ever heard of in my life who has achieved the things that Frosty has achieved. Sheer force of will, discipline, and a love of doing it. He is truly a one-of-a-kind human being. Back in a minute. Hold on.